on a visit to New York, an Englishman and an Irishman went into a very popular pastry shop. Very quickly, the Englishman whisked 3 cookies into his pocket with lightning speed. The baker didn't notice. The Englishman comes over to the Irishman and says, "You see how clever we are? You'll never beat that." Well, the Irishman said to the Englishman, "Watch this, for an Irishman is always cleverer than an Englishman." And the Irishman went up to the baker and said, "Give me a cookie, I can show you a magic trick." The baker kind of raises his eyebrow, but he gives the cookie to the Irishman, who promptly eats it. Then he says to the baker, "Give me another cookie for my magic trick." Now the baker's getting suspicious, but he gives it to the Irishman, who eats this one too. Then the Irishman says again, "Give me one more cookie." Now the baker is getting angry, but gives him reluctantly the cookie again, and the Irishman eats this one too, and now the baker is really mad, and he yells, "And where is your famous magic trick?" The Irishman says, "Look in the Englishman's pocket." Sacred Scripture tells us, as it comes through St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Jesus himself chastises his church, and he says, "You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right?" The great saint, the Apostle Paul, tells us we die daily. This was the life of the early Christian. They went everywhere with their lives in their hands. Most of us are not yet called to pass through that same kind of fearful persecutions. But if we were, the Lord will give us the grace to bear the test. The tests of Christian life at the present moment, though outwardly not so terrible, are yet more likely to overcome us even than those of that first 300 years of intense persecutions. For Jesus reminds us, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man." The world revels in followers of Jesus slumbering, being spiritually asleep, and it mocks and sneers at those who try to keep faithful to him. And the fact is we have to bear the sneer of the world. But that is little. Its soft words, oily speeches, its warped deceptions, its fawning over ungodly things, and its hypocrisy and double standards are far worse. Our danger is that we grow rich and become proud, or we give ourselves up to the fashions of this present evil world and lose our faith. The devil cares little which one of those two is, as long as he destroys our love for Christ and our confidence in him. Satan knows God has all the power. He also knows that God's power and God's will almost always will only get released into the affairs of the world and of humankind when all Christians persistently pray, believe and keep believing, and keep evangelizing. But he also knows that when they don't, it may seem to so many in the world that God's will and power has some limitations in the affairs of this world. God has ordained that his church is his army, his chosen vessels to work through, not with the tricks of the world, not with the weapons that other armies use that bring destruction and death, but rather the light to the nations, Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is why Satan so much wants to frustrate our faith lives, our prayer lives, our ability to speak to the world in darkness with the same light that is so needed, so that God is hindered in finding available vessels to execute his will into situations on earth, to find no room in the inn, to let the Christ child be born and grow in maturity and within us. Which is why in this first Advent Sunday, the message is stay awake. Be alert in acknowledging that we are given by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the divine life imparted to us, especially in this Eucharist, all that is needed to stay awake and to stay alert and sober. And so we go to Scripture, and especially in the one who prepares the way of the Lord, St. John the Baptist, who gives us three really good tools to prepare ourselves in this Advent season for both remembering the Lord in his historical coming, but also to keep our hearts ready to greet him when he comes again in glory. The first is to bear fruits of repentance. As the Lord teaches us, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Forgiveness and readiness to forgive is one of the most effective ways of keeping the soul ready and waiting for the Lord. For all of us need that forgiveness. Number two, increase in the knowledge of God through the forgiveness of sins. We are reminded by Zechariah, John's father. Every morning in the gospel canticle at morning prayer, that God wills that the world will grow in its knowledge of our Savior through the forgiveness of sins. As St. Paul reminds us, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And finally, to make room for the grace of God in the heart, which expresses itself as acts of charity for us in a particular way, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. This assures our victory and keeps us grounded in recognizing that God loved us first and has provided for us the way to turn back to Him. This is the cry that comes from that recognition from St. Paul again. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.